from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's the podcaster that just said friends instead of friends. And if, you know, if I was friends with a bunch of Venn diagrams, that's what I'd call them. My friend, Venn, now I can't even repeat it, friends. And I'd take them to Venice. So picture me in a gondola with my arms around a bunch of Venn diagrams. Oh, all of us overlapping in love. And I hope to have you overlapping like my words are in love and lulls. Because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And if you could pay attention, or tomorrow when you wake up, as soon as your hand hits the fridge tomorrow, go, I got to check out the sponsors at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. But here's the ways we keep the show going. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleep With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me. So if you're new or the show's just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get to sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would sleeping be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody. Tonight's crossover episode is made possible with the hard work of Chris Bosterson from Sounds Like an Earful Studios, who does our theme music and edits episodes. Carl W., who edited this episode. Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer on our artwork. Eric and the team at Astound on our website. Our listeners have their own Facebook group. I want to thank the moderators, Julie and Jennifer, Stacy and Sarah, Lauren, Keith. Sleep With Me is a proud member of PRX and Night Vale Presents, which supports the possibility of making this crossover episode. I want to thank Dr. Chuck Tingle and everybody over at Night Vale Presents that worked so hard on this show. Grant, Vincent, Christy, Adam. Working so hard to prove love is real. And I just want to do this, our own mystery bard. And because it's the top of the show, I need you to hear the beginning of the show anyway. So I wanted to play this amazing cover of Proving Love is Real, the song by Caged Animals. You hear at the beginning of the podcast I'm appearing on, Chuck Tingle's podcast, Puffed in the Pillows by Your Own Pillows or something. This is our own mystery bard, Jonathan Mann, Well, you can commission a song from a song.jonathanmann.net covering Proving Love is Real.
The TV's on. There's not much talking between two buggeroos. Good buds and platters, the big game playing. But one of us must choose. And the ball's in the end zone, and we're high as the ozone. Our kisses sign.
I love that song. Thank you, Mishka Bard. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the beginning of the show and the credits. And I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. And that's it. Let's get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. Now, I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, inside stuff, outside stuff, travel, changes in routine. Whatever's keeping you awake, I'd like to distract you from that. And what I'm going to do is send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use these lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, rusty meanders, faded sleep dust, tangled tangents. I don't know if I've ever said that. They're over alliteration. I'm the only person. They say easy on the alliteration. It's not ketchup, Scoots. And I say, when it's coming out of my mouth, it's like, if I could think of something that's alliterative with ketchup, I'm instantly, brain, please. I just say, I've caught up with ketchup. My brain caught fire. But I say, where was I? Oh, also mix-ups, plenty of mix-ups. So here's the thing. If you're new, podcast takes a few tries to get used to. It doesn't make a lot of sense. It's a bit goofy or silly. And yeah, I have gruffish, creaky dulcet tones and rusty meanders, but I'm here to help. I'm here to take your mind off stuff. Try to win your trust. I don't operate on the assumption you're going to trust me, because why would you? You're in bed. You're having trouble falling asleep. And give it a few tries if you're skeptical and see if it helps you. But the way I help is let's see. Usually the intros are different every time, but this one I'm already off my normal topic. But if you're new, yeah, give it a few tries. I'm going to just do a long intro and then a bedtime story based on another podcast to take your mind off stuff. And it should be just distracting enough to keep your mind off whatever's keeping you awake, but not so engaging that you have to listen. So that's one of the things. You don't need to listen to this podcast. You can listen in any manner you choose or what works for you. So you can you can listen the whole time. I'll be here the whole time. You could tune me out. You could put me on, low. You could play me in the other room. However you wish to listen, but I don't expect your full attention. I guess that's the thing. I don't expect you to listen to me or be super engaged, just to listen at your leisure. So you don't need to listen, but you're also under no pressure to fall asleep. I'll be here about an hour, and tonight's episode will be really, really soothing, I think. So I'll be here the whole time to keep you company, whether you're awake or asleep. I'll be putting in the work, because I really believe that's part of what makes the podcast work, is that I'm here the whole time, whether you need to listen to me or not, to help. Kind of like a friend. Like, I call myself your bore friend sometimes, your bore bud, your bore sib, your bore bestie, whatever term you're comfortable with. You could just say, I think some people call me the boring guy or the bore guy, I've heard recently. So whatever works for you. But you don't need to listen. No pressure to fall asleep. I'll be here for an hour. Structurally, what to expect is the show starts off with a few minutes of business. That's how we keep the show going. If you're new, not super important. If you're a regular listener, especially if you fall asleep fast, please go to sleepwithmepodcast.com and look at our sponsors or become a patron, because that's how the show keeps going. But if you're new, not a big deal. So that's a few minutes. Then there's an intro, which we're like 5 minutes into. The intros are usually about 12 minutes of me rambling and trying to earn your trust if you're new. And even that takes like three different episodes usually. Because again, I'm a skeptical person. I think if you're skeptical about this, it's perfectly natural. And if it doesn't work for you, I'm sorry. Because yeah, it doesn't work for everybody. But here's the thing. I hope and wish it does work for you. So that's because I really truly believe you deserve a good night's sleep. And I've been there. Unable to fall asleep, so I know how it feels. So the show starts off with 12 minutes of business. Then after that, we're going to have a setup and then a bedtime story based on a story from another podcast here on Night Vale Presents. So we'll talk about that a little later in the show. But that'll be like a meandering bedtime story that ends with some thank yous and good nights. There's a little business between the intro and the story, and that's about it. That's just structurally what to expect. And tonight's method is, there's a lot of different methods I use, but yeah, Tangled Meanders is one I didn't even realize. Oh, no, Tangled Tangents. My meander was so tangled, I forgot what it was. I do Tangled Tangents. I don't know how many Fisher people we have out there. I did go fishing when I was a kid, occasionally, like from shore, like because I wanted, because I was trying to do my best. Tuck Finn, what was it, Tom? I'm kidding, Huck Finn and Tom Sawyer imitation. And I went a couple times fishing in a boat with some of my older cousins and uncles and my dad. But it wasn't like a major thing we did. And I don't know, but I know there's like fishing line, and I was always getting that tangled and any kind of line or rope, or now had, cords, or cords, I tend to get tangled. It's just a natural part of being me. I'm a natural tangling tangents and tangling stuff. You say, hey, do you need a hair tangler? Not a detangler. I called up Suave. Actually, don't call, don't just start dialing numbers with Suave at the end. There's a piece of, but I called up their number. I said, hey, at first, don't call Suave and then make VO5 hot oil jokes, because I tried to do that. I said, is oil hot? And they said, what? I said, the VO5 hot oil, is it hot or not? And then they hung up, and then I changed phones, called again. And they said, sorry about all those VO5 hot oil jokes. I said, it's just too hot to stop. I said, I just, like, once my mouth gets oiled with hot oil. And they say, that's for your hair. And I said, yeah, I know. So they don't have a number anymore. So then I called another company that makes detangler. And I said, what's your ad campaign? Because all I know is you're next to the, bath, bubble bath stuff. And I said, no offense, I think there's pretty much a monopoly nowadays on hair products, for the most part in the supermarket where I get mine. But I think you're underperforming I may be a shareholder, but, or maybe not, but I think you're underperforming in the marketplace. And then I just started leaving voicemails. I learned after that call to just get all your ideas out into voicemails, so this was like more of even more tangled tangents. But I said, you could start a campaign with me as the tangler, and then your detangler could fix everything. It turns out that, yeah, it's not a problem. I said, what is in there? Water and something. I said, what do you mean it's not profitable? I said, well, what kind of world do we live in where there's no marketing budget for detangler? And they said, can you look around? I said, can you see the message in my message? He said, this whole thing may be your fault that you've not been marketing the Detangler properly. And I'm here to fix everything. And they said, how? And I said, well, I'm really good at tangling things. And you never heard, I mean, holy cow, these marketing, what are these called? Customer service people. It really is hard to get them to sigh for most people. I said, maybe, do you know anybody from the Bridge of Sighs? I said, I can make people sigh too. And then I said, I'm just really good at tangling things. I tangle tangents for a living, believe it or not. And I said, I could use that in the commercial if you pay me. And you'd have to pay me for the copywriting too. You know, I could blow off, I could have a tangling spray and we could have a showdown, you know, and I'd tangle tangents for a living. And you could have the spaghetti Western music. I said, what about, I think there's an octopus on one of your bottles of Detangler or bubble bath anyway, a friendly, kid-friendly one. I said, that could be the Detangler. And maybe I would be the one, you know, kind of, causing tangles. Because for an octopus, that wouldn't be good. And then they said, well, I don't think this is a good use of my time. And I said, well, okay, well, you know, free marketing ideas don't come every day. And they said, you really think you're the only person that calls these numbers with your marketing ideas? And I said, well, how many detanglers have you heard from? And then they laughed. They said, well, no. I said, that's right. They said, believe me, I got a successful podcast. I've been tangling tangents going on 5 years. And it turned out it was a thanks or no thanks. And I said, well, my audience will just be the beneficiary of my tangled tangents. So if you're new, it might have sounded like I have a procedure for tangling stuff, but it's just natural. Some people have natural charisma. Some people are just naturals. Some people have a natural glow. Some people are naturally friendly, optimistic, naturally. Some people have natural grace, I've heard, whatever, they move with a lightness, naturally kind. There's a lot of good, I tangle things naturally. Like if I was with Watson and Holmes and I had a sidekick, he'd say, naturally tangled, my dear Scooter. Tangled naturally, my dear Scooter. And I'd say, that's right. You're going to have to get some scissors to get me out of this one, Watson, or whomever it was. But in the podcast situation, these tangled tangents are where you're kind of following me. I'm taking your mind off of stuff. You could see the label of the body wash or bubble bath in the grocery store. And you stop thinking about whatever's keeping you awake. And then I wind back around and I call up the number. And then at some point you wake up at breakfast tomorrow. And if you and your partner or one of your friends listens, you say, what was Scoots talking about in the podcast again? He's saying, well, VO5 hot oil again. And then they'd say, did he say Vidal Sassoon and giggle? And they say, well, he did, but it was very meta because he waited, he saved it for extra punch. And then they say, did he say Vidal Sassoon? And they said, no, he's never said it like that. He usually says it like, va va voom, Vidal, he's never said Vidal either. Did he say what in the name of Gore Vidal, Sassoon? And I don't know, I was asleep. You say, what kind of kid becomes a man who's obsessed with VO5 hot oil? You say, thank goodness for Scoots and his tangled tangents, puts me right to sleep. That's what that's the life of a regular listener. And they get constantly applause because they say, where'd you get that natural glow? And they say, it's not natural. It's corny jokes about VO5 hot oil that put me to sleep, believe it or not. Yeah, there is the hair place. They say, man, you're holy follicles. I've never seen anything like this. Your split hairs is split because there's none. What happened? They say, well, I slept great. That's what happened. You could thank Vidal Sassoon I'm only laughing because it's so ridiculously not funny that it cracks me up. Scooter, he's so unfunny. It's almost funny. And I'm here to put a smile on your face, really. That's why I'm so goofy and silly, is because I want to help. I want to lighten the pressure at bedtime because I've been there. So give the podcast a few tries. See if it can help you. Because I strive, I work very hard, and I yearn to help you fall asleep. Thank you so much for coming by. And before we get on with the show, just a couple of messages here of how we get on with the show. All right, everybody. So tonight is going to be a special crossover episode with a podcast by Dr. Chuck Tingle here on Night Vale Presents. And I'm going to be doing a reading of this story on Chuck's podcast, which is an adult-only podcast. So you can check it. This story that I'm going to do tonight as a part of Sleep With Me will be as Sleep With Me as it possibly gets. But you could check out Chuck's podcast, which we'll link to in the show notes, which the name of it, much like Alice Isn't on the Big Farm, is Puffed by My Pillows, by My Own Podcast, is the podcast by Dr. Chuck Tingle. And tonight I'm going to be doing a reading of Sleep With Me version. So very, very Sleep With Me version. So no worries. In fact, I'm doing this intro after I did the story, so I can't tell you how Sleep With Me and sleepy it is. My pillows are comforted by the realization that I'm okay and everything will be all right. Is by Chuck Tingle. But I do want to say a little bit about Chuck and his podcast and his stories, especially for those of you that are unfamiliar with it or might be a little bit more on the G spectrum. You're an adult, but you say, well, I prefer G-level things. Because if you listen to Chuck's podcast or read any of his stories, you'll quickly see that the DNA like we may be related in somehow, like when they were like the same gene pool was tapped for us. And I think that's a sensibility that why I'm so proud to be a part of Night Vale Presents is that people say Chuck's is different. His stories are different than mine, and they come at things from a totally different direction, and they're not sleepy. They're stimulating and they're funny. But they also just have this thing that I'm not sure I ever encountered before, and this angle about it that I've never encountered before. And if you want to get a taste of it first, because you're a little bit more on that G side, which is okay, like just check out the Wikipedia article maybe about Dr. Chuck Tingle or Chuck Tingle or Tinglers. But I do want to say that because really, you probably can hear the smile on my face. It's just like so strange to encounter someone that does something so much different than you, but at the same time you say, how are these similar in some intangible way that even I can't put my finger on? But I say, holy cow, like this is like what I'm doing, but not at all like what I'm doing. I mean, I think that's what I maybe I already said. It's like this shared sensibility or this shared, I don't know, weird delight in a good way. Enjoy this episode because I really enjoyed making it, and I think you'll really enjoy sleeping to it. Thanks, and you can check out Chuck's podcast on Night Vale Presents, and I'll have a link to Chuck's website too. And I actually don't have permission to call him Dr. Tingle, paging Dr. Tingle, as we head into this story, paging Dr. Tingle.
Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
Okay, this is a Sleep With Me version of original story by Chuck Tingle, and I'll be performing the original story on Chuck's podcast, and you can also find the original story on Amazon or wherever you purchase your ebooks. But this story is my pillows are comforted by the realization that I'm okay and everything will be all right. Based on an original story by Chuck Tingle that you could find on Amazon or wherever you purchase your ebooks or on Chuck's podcast. I'll be doing the original version. I can't believe you're really doing it, my friend Largo says, staring out across the ocean from our comfortable spot on a wooden park bench. The seat below us feels firm and comforting, this dry land more stable than anything I expect to feel for the next few weeks on the water. I'm really doing it, I assure my friend, turning to face him so he can see the seriousness in my eyes. I know you think that it's an interesting idea. I know everyone thinks it's an interesting idea. But I just got to get out of here, out on the water. I wouldn't be surprised if Largo started to laugh at me. But instead, he just nods in begrudging acceptance. Things change quickly these days, and even my most optimistic friends have been tossing and turning. I think, you know, they've been listening to Needin' Sleep With Me podcast. Human existence is never easy. It's all so human-y. And lately, it seems like the world's doing everything it can to really put a hue in humanity. You got environmental stuff, economic stuff, and all that voting stuff and the news stuff every single day. And you just want to get in bed and turn out the lights and press play. In a moment of frustration, I took everything I owned and I sold it all. That money was put towards buying a small island just off the coast of California, an outcropping of rocks is so barren and unusable that even I was about to afford it. I'd been told that the possibility of development on the island is slim to none, and that power or running water is completely impossible, but at least I'll be far away from all this getting in bed and trying to get comfortable stuff that makes up our modern world. Out there, away from the mainland, I'll finally be completely alone. I'll miss you, buddy, Largo tells me as if reading my mind. Deep down, you know, some part of me says, man, it's a good time for me to get out of here. I know that setting sail is the right thing to do, but it's been difficult saying goodbye to my friends and family. Right now, Largo's my last goodbye. I'll miss you too, I inform him, but I gotta get out of here. The world is, it's the old handbasket and the HECK, and I want to get a pillow and press play. My friend smirks a bit. It's not so bad. Not so bad, I encounter, and my volume goes up more than I intended. Have you watched the tube at all? Or they're not even tubes anymore, I say. Could you believe it? I used to call this thing a tube, and now I'm not even sure what it's even made of. Is it LCDs or LEDs? I just got to get, you know what I'm saying? That's it for me, and I'm going screen-free. Largo raises his hand in submission. Okay, I understand what you're saying. It's hard to deal with, but it's not all bad. I lift a single eyebrow. Tell me one good thing about the confusion around screens. Friendship, Largo replies. Netflix, communication, movies, TV shows, Olympics, all that stuff we watch on screens together. Friendship, buddy. I let out a long sigh. You could come with me, I tell him. There's enough room on the island for two, and the boat has plenty of food to make the trip. Largo scoffs. I've seen pictures of your island. No thanks, Churn. I nod in acceptance. For the next while, my friend and I sit in silence, enjoying the peaceful motion of the waves before us as they pulse gently across the beachfront. It's a beautiful scene, yet I still can't get the nagging feeling out of the back of my mind that something is nagging, you know. That maybe I will miss screens and friendship. My mind begins in a place of comfort and moves to the more tossing and turning state, puffing pillows and saying, do I have enough pillows on this boat? What's it all about, these pillows? I start to think about the immense size of time, and sweat forms across my forehead. I need to get out of here, I think, again, and out into the ocean, where none of this stuff, you know, where I just calm waves, sweet, sweet waves, so calm. Like being on the beach, but you're in the beach. You are right, Largo interjects, breaking through my thoughts. I nod. It's time to set sail. Come on down to the dock and see me off. I stand and start towards the beach, Largo following closely behind. There's a dock nearby where my sailboat has been tied, a modest vessel, but large enough to comfortably get me where I'm going. There's enough supplies loaded onto the ship so that I can construct a small hut when I arrive, and enough food to last me a few weeks until I get my fishing and agriculture situation sorted out. Eventually, my friend and I arrive at the dock, strolling down its wooden planks as the breeze flickers our skin. Oh, that sweet sea breeze. As sweet as a sea breeze degreasing my face. My pores feel open and clean, relieved. They exult, and for a moment, I feel a minor twinge of relaxation. Hopefully this is a sign of more to come. Everyone at work wanted me to tell you goodbye, Largo offers as we stand by the side of my boat. I can tell he's holding something back, not giving me the full story. Oh yeah? I question. Largo grins. Well, they said that, but they also wanted me to tell you, don't go. There's so many screens here, so many screens to watch, so many screens to take in, to touch, to clean. You know, screen can reflect to you, or me, or the two of us, or all of us at work sitting side by side during a presentation. But I figured I'd skip all that melodrama if you're not going to listen. The words are kind, but the simple mention of work makes me say, oh, sea breeze, take me away like Calgon used to take away my mother and her mother before that. Okay, then, I finally say, offering Largo an awkward hug. The two of us embrace for a moment and then pull away. Until next time, Largo replies with a slight wave. I untie the ropes and climb into my boat, casting off. Not sure if I should say ahoy or aloha. We both know that I don't know when the next time I'll see Largo or screens again. I may sing Key Largo when I miss him, but I don't have a song to sing to the screens. But we pretend convincingly, nonetheless. And he does say bye, and I say ahoy. And then I decide to do a conductor motion, like I'm a choo-choo train, even though I'm in a boat. And now I'm drifting further and further away from the shore. I don't know if it was the pizza tapes where I first heard that, or somewhere else. Maybe Jerry Garcia was playing the mandolin, or maybe that was that David guy. And I expect the modern world to drift away as well. But screens and friends like Largo and coworkers said to stay exactly where they started. Give it time, I think to myself. I set a course for my tiny island and then watch the seemingly endless horizon before me, happy to be on my way. Behind, Largo continues to wave until he's nothing more than a tiny pinpoint in the distance. I take a deep breath, the sea air filling my lungs with a natural sense of rejuvenation. Out here, none of my doubts and worries will be able to find me. Out here, it's just me and the ocean. Not another screen for miles and miles. I begin to hum a song, just making it up as I go along, while the ship drifts onward, every second taking me further and further away from the mainland. From screens and screen-related stuff, and I didn't even think about that whole blue light thing till right now, as I look into the sweet, sweet blue sky. And I think I could take a drink from that sky, and the drink would probably taste good. And I realize I haven't thought about screens for 45 seconds till I just saw the screens again. And then I look at the ocean, one giant screen, and I wonder if that's the sky looking back at me, or some mer people are saying, "Hey, get it going, Churn. Have a great trip." And I say, "Sure, too." And I do another choo-choo motion, like a conductor pulling on some sort of whistle. I continue to hum, and soon the minutes turn into hours, the sun moving farther and farther across the sky until it eventually begins to descend towards the horizon line, changing the color of the surrounding blue to a blossomy red and violet. It's a beautiful sight, but in this moment of wonder, I can't help notice a turtle right off the port bow, or is it the starboard bow? I think I'd like to hang out with a turtle, but then I rub my eyes and look again, trying to make out the shape that bobs gently in the waves, some 40 yards off the front of my boat, and miles from land in any direction. But it's quite possible this could be nothing more than a log that looks like a turtle. Still, there's something about it that gives me pause, a turtle-like angularity that seems nothing short of wonderful. Closer and closer I get until I'm right upon the object, looking down over the side of the boat with great concern. "Hey there," comes a relaxed voice. The figure in the water is now in full view, revealing himself to be the word okay. O-K-A-Y, in huge, well-defined letters. The word is wearing a pair of sunglasses and sipping on a tall glass of chocolate milk as he lays out on an inner tube, half to submerged in the sweet, sweet warm waters of that lovely, lovely blue, blue of the ocean. "Oh my goodness," I stammer. "Are you okay? How long have you been out here?" "I'm great," the word says with a smile. "It's you that I'm curious about." I narrow my eyes with great concern. "What are you saying? I'm doing great on this boat. Just dandy, floating out here in the middle of the ocean. Screen-free and fancy screen-free." "Everything's fine," the word informs me and takes a long sip from his chocolate milk. The living collection of letters savors his taste of this cool liquid, closing his eyes and drinking until the entire glass is drained. "So you're just relaxing?" I question, still completely taken off guard. The word nods. "I sure am." By now, my boat has floated close enough to the inner tube for the word to grab a hold, which he does. Carefully, the sentient word climbs up into my boat, gently finding a place to set his glass, and then sitting casually on the edge. He removes his sunglasses. "My name is Cortine James," offers the word, "and I'm here to comfort you." I laugh. "I'm already comfortable," I inform him. "I'm more than comfortable. I've been more than comfortable than I've been in a long, 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 long time. Especially given the fact that I'm out here in the ocean and I don't have to think about LEDs or LCDs or UHD or 8K. Just a sweet, sweet ocean. All right, fair enough," Cortine says soothingly. "I just wanted to let you know you're going to be okay. You have the power to keep plowing ahead and to be part of the change that you seek, especially if you turn around and go back and learn to turn the screens off when you need to." "Me?" I retort. "Yeah, right. It's true. You're perfectly capable of overcoming the odds in your daily life and maybe even changing how the world deals with screens if you continue to lead by example." There's something a little too preachy about the message that Cortine is sending my way, and my eyes instinctively narrow in response. "Who are you, really?" I ask. "Cortine," the word replies. "I'm the living manifestation of the realization you're okay, and everything will be all right." I throw my hands up in the air, brimming with, brimming. I knew it, I blurted. Did Largo send you, or was it someone from work? Ortine shakes his head. You manifested me, he explains. Nobody else. I take in a deep breath and let out a long sigh, wondering exactly how to approach this. Well, you're not really relaxing me, Cortine, with your chocolate milk drinking and your proclamation. And how'd you even get an inner tube out of here? I got an island to get to. You got to worry about things less, Cortine counters. Put the tube on the back page. And besides, what's the point of worrying about those things? If you want to do what's right when it comes to screens or to life, worrying and fretting is not turning things off. I'm not just worrying. I'm leaving, I explain. Okay, Cortine counters. I shrug. Well, if you don't like that, you can get off my boat. Cortine nods and then rolls backwards off the ledge and hits the sweet, sweet water with a loud splash. The manifestation of the realization that I'm okay and everything will be all right starts to float away, smiling and waving as he goes. I shake my head, frustrated by the optimism of this unusual being. Not only was Cortine annoying, he was slowing my boat down. And he left his chocolate milk just sitting here. And how do you, why was he in an inner tube with water anyway? I collect myself and then refocus on the horizon before me, trying to push away any thoughts regarding this sentient concept of floating by himself out in the great wide ocean. Unfortunately, this is a much more difficult task than I would have initially thought. My brain is getting the best of me out here. And I'm thinking, I'm wondering if Cortine's going to miss his chocolate milk, and maybe I should give him a ride. The living word might be fine with this situation, but I'm not. Can't just let the word okay tube around on its own, just tubing. I roll my eyes and swiftly adjust course, turning the boat around and eventually returning to the spot where Cortine rolled overboard. The living okay is still floating there in the water, happily as can be, after somehow finding his inner tube once again. Are you ready to listen? Cortine asks. Are you ready to listen? I counter. Cortine shrugs. The next few minutes, me and the living manifestation of the realization that I'm okay and everything will be all right have a silent standoff. Neither one of us willing to move the conversation forward. We're still standing off. Yeah, I better talk just to fill the air. Scoot's here, just filling up this air while our main character and Cortine have a silent standoff. Okay, here it comes back. Finally, I crack. Get in, I say. Cortine smiles and then climbs back into the boat once more, patting me enthusiastically on the back with his cold, wet hand, causing me to say, "Woo, that was a little bit chilly." See, the word shouts excitedly, "You still got some hope left in you." I shake my head. Don't make me regret getting you and putting you back on board. Cortine chuckles. You didn't save me because everything's going to be just fine. Well, I couldn't just leave you out there tubing in the ocean when I have a whole island, and you're just four letters, and I couldn't understand if you were four interconnected letters. Or, you know, I was thinking, are you the letters O, K, A, and Y? And how is that related to you being the living manifestation of more than just what the letters in the word represent? And then I was thinking, is it okay to just leave okay to be okay? And what if okay decided you changed your mind about screens and watching a screen here on the boat or on my island or somewhere else out there? You were on a screen looking at the sky, which was a screen at sunset, a beautiful, beautiful screen. And now it's dusk and the sky is beyond Ultra HD, beyond 8K, beyond anything else. But, I just thought I'd come and get you. And I, you know, I also worried you'd miss me maybe. Well, you came along, Cortine retorts. But what if I didn't? What would you have done then? Just paddle and with your hands? You don't even have hands. How are you going to paddle with an O and a Y? Because your K and A are kind of sitting in the middle of the tube. The living manifestation of the realization that I'm okay and everything will be all right shrugs. Sure, I might have had to paddle somewhere. Sure, I wouldn't have had a screen to watch. I don't even have anywhere to plug it in, as a matter of fact. And yeah, my chocolate milk's sitting here in its glass waiting for me to finish it up to savor every bite, every sip. It's thick enough to bite and chew and savor. And I knew you'd come to pick me up either way. Maybe you even wanted me to splash you with a little bit of water, but I can't just reach overboard and splash you while I'm trying to make a point because I am the letters OK, A, and Y. I suppose he's right, but I say nothing in return. Sometimes people get out in tubes and they think too much instead of not thinking at all. And maybe sometimes you don't have to do either one. Maybe something in the middle. Like at dusk, when the sky and the ocean seem like they're in the middle of one another, explains Cortine. Floating is really easy. We naturally do it, but when you're thinking, you're still floating, but you're not really floating. Well, fine, I get it. Do you really? Asks the living collection of letters. I mean, yeah, I get that. I get what you're saying, I admit. Cortine smiles. What about the fact that you're going to be okay? Do you get that? I shake my head. That's fine. The living manifestation of the realization that I'm okay and everything will be all right says, it's okay to be frustrated and anxious and confused. But it's also okay to take a moment and remind yourself that you're probably going to be just fine. When the waves get waving, when the screens have their volume go up during commercials and you say to yourself, what in the hey? Remember, for the most part, things are moving in a pretty good direction. Because at the end of the day, love always wins. I hate to admit it, but this optimistic manifestation is actually making a lot of sense right now. So it's okay for me to think about this stuff, and it's okay for me to have feelings about this stuff, and it's okay for me to process this, but it's okay for me to just float too? I ask him, a little confused. It's all okay, Cortine tells me, stepping towards me slightly. It's all going to be fine. The living word opens his arms wide and wraps me tightly in his welcome embrace. What at once was seemed cold and frigid is now warm, filling me with a sense of comfort I haven't felt in years. I realize now that while the future is still unknowable, I'm currently okay. Worrying isn't going to do me any favors without positive action behind it. Everything's fine, Cortine says. I nod in acceptance. The longer that the living manifestation of the realization that I'm okay and everything will be all right holds me here, however more this comfort turns into something even more powerful, a potent emotion filling me with relaxation, with the essence of the letters O and K and A and Y, I suddenly let out a big sigh of relief. Everything's fine, Cortine repeats. I know it is, I finally accept. I love this world, the world of screens and of work and people and human stuff. I want to be a part of it, an even bigger part of it. I want to go back and I want to fight for love. That sounds really nice, the manifested concept replies soothingly. No more island? No more island, I confirm with a nod. I reach over, and I realize our long, drawn-out hug has become something more. And I reach across the letters O, the letters K, the letters A, and the letters Y, something more now. And I take the wheel of the boat and I turn us around to head back to shore. I think it's time to take a snoozy snooze, I finally tell Cortine. I mean, we're headed back to the world of screens soon, but it's going to take us a little while to get there. Yeah, I know there's good things on screens, and there's other things on screens. Cortine says, why don't you quit using that word and give me another hug? And I tell Cortine that I have something else in mind, and we go down below my ship, where in the front of the bow of the boat, I made it into a giant squishy bed. Thick foam mattresses cover the floor, covered in the cleanest, the sweetest sheets you've ever seen. And there's blankets there, just the right amount. And Cortine says, what are you doing? What are we up to? And I say, it's time to take a nap. I have the ship on autopilot. And I take the letters O and Y in my hand, and I begin to puff them. And I said, I didn't even realize you were a puffy, puffy pillow. Not only are you a manifestation, you're also a physical, you're like a kind of like a body pillow. Holy moly, I've never been puffed before, Cortine said. And I say, just wait, Cortine. Have you ever had someone sleep on you before as a pillow? Because you're about to go from manifestation to enabling a sound-to-sound nap asleep. And Cortine makes a sound that I can only say was a manifestation of the relief Cortine was feeling. And at first I tuck my ear in the O, and I get comfortable. I let my cheek sink in. It's an O-shaped pillow that is also the letter O. And it feels good. And then I take with my right arm in the crook of my elbow, the A and the Y, and I wrap it around my side because that's how I like to sleep, at least when I'm at first at doing that. And I could feel, this is the first pillow, a sentient pillow I've had contact with in a long time, and particularly the first time I've slept with a letter-shaped pillows that is only one pillow. And Cortine says, let your head sink in a little bit more. And I say, okay. And I can't believe it. I'm even more comfortable. My head is sinking in with a little bit more comfort. And I say to Cortine, I forgot to ask, what kind of pillow are you? Like, what's in here? And Cortine kind of laughs, a chuckle. And says, why don't you just relax and unwind? Because what's in here is the essence of everything's going to be okay and you're going to be all right. So let your head sink a little bit more and get even more cozy. And I do. I take my left shoulder and I rub it against the side of Cortine's O. And I really lean in, getting more and more comfortable, more and more snuggled in. I kick my right foot out from under the blanket, and at the same time use the bottom of Cortine's Y to flick the blankets up over my right shoulder so that I'm both got a breeze on my foot and the warmth of the blankets over my upper body. And Cortine says, that's nice. And I say to Cortine, I want you to feel the physical manifestation of two beings relaxing and chilling. And Cortine says, I think I'm just supposed to be manifested. I don't think I'm supposed to be observing manifestations. And I say, who's thinking now? I said, you don't have any eyes to close, but you do, 14. I want you to sit here against me. And then I move the blanket so 14 can feel like one branch of the Y out under the blanket, like my right foot exposed to the air, exposed to the comfortable sea breeze just drifting in. And I say, do you notice anything, 14? And 14 says, it feels all right. And I say, it does. And I say, can you hear anything out there? And 14 says, I don't know. And I say, that's because we're talking right now. I said, while I'm talking, also listen outside of the boat, which, because this is a sleep podcast, we have to do both at the same time. And 14 says, huh? And then I say, do you hear that? And 14 says, the lapping of the water against the sides of the boats. And I say, yes, what else? 14 says, the playful splash of a wave breaking over another wave. And I say, yes. And I say, what else? Tell me more. And 14 says, the call of a seagull saying, I think I see a glass of chocolate milk on that ship, and maybe I'll go down there and take a sip. And I say, yes. Was that a boat-friendly glass with an extremely heavy bottom so it won't tip even if a seagull lands on it? And 14 says, yeah, that glass is going to be okay. And I say, that chocolate milk will be okay. And 14 says, I wonder if that seagull will be okay drinking that chocolate milk. And I say, I observed the glass before we came down here, and it won't be able to get its beak in there, so it's nothing to really worry about. So I say, let's get more comfortable. And 14 says, I didn't know how I could get any more comfortable. And I say, we change positions now. And 14 says, why would you change positions when this one's so perfect? And I say, just part of getting comfortable. And I said, have you ever seen a cat before? Because you're cool as a cat, 14. And 14 says, I can manifestate an image of a cat in my mind. And I say, cats like to knead their beds. I do it a little bit slower. So I want to prepare you for what's going to happen next, 14. I'm going to hold you a little bit tighter. And then with my right elbow is what it's going to be holding you. My right hand will be cradling your O against my chest. My left hand will be cradling the blankets against my left shoulder. I'm going to kick us into the air, which I call a whale breach. Just like a whale out in the ocean. And then 14 gasps and says, I just heard a whale breach out in the ocean. And I said, me too. Get ready. And then I do my patented changing sleep position move, which is to jump my whole body up. And while I'm in the air, I pull 14 even closer. And I wrap my blankets around my left side. And then for some reason, I kick my right knee out so my legs are like a figure four. And I tuck the Y of 14 below my rib cage, up against my hip even. So now we're even closer. I also do another move where instead of putting my head on 14, I decide to put my head against the cool, soft sheet and mattress. And 14 is just touching my neck into the side of the back of my head. And 14 says, that was exciting. And I say, yeah, that was a breach move. Sometimes I'll do it while I'm asleep even. And then I kick my left foot to loose the blanket from my left, left foot so it has some air. So now my left and my right feet are exposed to the sea breeze. And 14 says, what about me? And I said, well, this is your first nap. I say, well, you maybe not the best idea for you to be exposed to sea breeze until you get used to napping. And I say, I want you to get even more comfortable with Cortine because we're going to manifest the motion of the boat now. It's rocking and it's churning forward, moving forward towards love, as you said. I said, can you feel the boat? Can you hear the churning of the water, not just the kiss of the waves? Can you feel the rock of the waves and the motion of the boat? Cortine pauses, listening and sensing. I feel the words, muscles, or whatever is underneath the surface manifesting itself, both relax and tense at the same time. And Cortine says, I feel the motion of even the earth. My mind is blown, and I say, what in the heck? That's a pronounced, I don't even have words to describe. I think I do too. And I say, get even more comfortable now, Cortine. I said, what is the motion of the boat saying? Cortine says, proving. I said, proving what? And Cortine says, proving love is real. And I said, that's what we're bound to. I said, I want you to feel the manifestation of the sheets, of the bed, of the boat, of the water, of the sea breeze, of the sky, of the clouds in the sky, of the line on the horizon, of the motion of the boat. What is all of it saying? And Cortine says, you already know. And I said to Cortine as I patted the side of the O, I said, well, you are the realization that I'm okay and everything will be all right. But you're shaped like an O, K, A, and Y. So you're the manifestation of that, but you're also the symbol of that, but you're also kind of the representation of that. And I said, we're on the way back to the world, to that human stuff together, the SCR to the E to the E to the N, Cortine. And Cortine says, yep, we are. And I said, you are okay, really, and I'm okay, and I know I'm okay, and everything will be all right now, together in this bed, relaxing. We're not drifting, but I can feel the drift, because the boat does drift even while it's moving forward. And I say, you know, it would help everyone else out there realize that they're okay and everything will be all right. And Cortine says, a living manifestation for them. And they say, well, I learned something today. I was out there on the water, full of doubt, ready to turn my back on the world. And in some sense, Cortine, my world, my back was turned on that world. And then a funny thing happened. I met a living manifestation of the realization that I'm okay and everything will be all right. And I said, no, thank you. And then something called to me. Maybe it was the glistening of the edge of a glass of chocolate milk. Maybe it was a cool look in your eyes behind those sunglasses. I'm not sure what it was, but I do know something called me back. And then I learned something. And Cortine said, did you realize something? Realize that you're okay and everything will be all right? I said, no, I didn't. I felt that. I felt that awaken in me, stir deep inside me. I felt it resonate within my core and then emanate outward to even my fingertips. And now, as we rest together, you know, it was even more comforting. And Cortine says, are you going somewhere with this? And I say, I am. And he says, we return to that world together. because I need you, Cortine. You might have awakened this within me, but I need a reminder. Cortine gasps again. And Cortine also says, I think I fell asleep for 1.5 seconds. And I said, well, you didn't miss anything. Why are we going back? And Cortine says, to prove love is real. And I kiss Cortine on the side of the O, I assume where Cortine's forehead would be. And I get comfortable with my chin underneath the side of the O, my nose tucked beneath it, right on that muscle between your armpit and your back. I can't figure out if it's part of the A or the K or the Y holding me there, but I know it feels good, real good. And I know I feel okay, and I say to myself, everything will be all right. I'm here. I'm drifting. I'm talking. And then I feel it against my chest, in my chest. I hear it. I sense it. I can almost even smell it. But at my core, that sympathetic vibration, Cortine is asleep, and not just asleep, in that deepest, syrupy sleep of a Saturday or Sunday afternoon nap. That sleep where you are comforted by the realization that you are okay, and you are going to be all right because you are the living manifestation of the realization that I'm okay and everything will be all right. And you're here with me, and I'm drifting, and the boat is rocking. And I'm just saying it over and over again. I'm okay. This feels good. We could spread this around, and then everyone wouldn't need anything more. We could prove love is real just by, I don't know. We'll work on that plan later. Right now, I just want to enjoy drifting away here with an okay. There's something so much more than that. A sweet, deep sleep. As we drift off and return to shore, good night. I want to thank everybody that became a patron in the past week. Emmeline, Lauren, Graham, thank you, thanks, and good night. Tosh, Tracy, and Tony with an I, thank you, thanks, and good night. Hazel, Matthew, and Randy, thank you, thanks, and good night. Raj, Hannah, and Lori, thank you, thanks, and good night. Pawan, the Bat, and Teresa, thank you, thanks, and good night. Jamie, Aaron, and Taya, thank you, thanks, and good night. Christy, Kimberly, and Alexandra, thank you, thanks, and good night. LB Rink, Sue, and Gail, thank you, thanks, and good night. Syed, Katie, and Lori, thank you, thanks, and good night. Kivi, Tim, and Chris, thank you, thanks, and good night. Tiffany, Nancy, and Kimberly, thank you, thanks, and good night. Andrew, LJ, and Terry, thank you, thanks, and good night. Nick, Lisa, and Kristen, thanks, and good night. Lois, Richard, and Andrea, thank you, thanks, and good night. Carol, Logan, and Warren, thank you, thanks, and good night. Tony, Stephen, and Friedrich, thank you, thanks, and good night. Anne, Crystal, and Lorana, thanks, and good night. John, Gemmett, and Tracy, thanks, and good night. Lily, Anakin, and Mia, thank you, thanks, and good night. Sarah, Tori, and Courtney, thank you, thanks, and good night. Francie, Davave, and Karen, thank you, thanks, and good night. Allison, Thomas, and Karen. Jay, thank you, thanks, and good night. Tana, Samantha, and Kevin, thank you, thanks, and good night. Nancy, Abigail, and Stephen, thank you, thanks, and good night. Joe, Laura, and Nicole, thank you, thanks, and good night. Marissa, Mark, and Laura, thanks, and good night. Rebecca, Scott, and Amy, thanks, and good night. Bartal, Isla, and Wendy, thanks and good night. Rochelle, Michelle, and Natasha, thanks and good night. Blake, Dan, and Andra, thanks and good night. Maeve, Amy, and Sherry, thanks and good night. Rodney, Jess, and Jory, thanks and good night. Mipsy, Tyler, and Pidge, thanks and good night. Thanks, everybody, for supporting the show on Patreon. And on Venmo, I want to thank Joan and Anya. Thank you. Thanks, everybody, for supporting the show. And good night. Sleep with Me is a part of Night Vale Presents. Check out all of the amazing shows over at nightvalepresents.com. We're all happy to be a part of the Night Vale family. Good night. All right, everybody, this is Scoots. I'm talking about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. You could take that Helix Sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. I'm just about to hit my four-year anniversary sleeping in my Helix Dusk Lux. And I took that Helix quiz. You know, I sleep on my side. I sleep on my stomach. I toss. I turn. I don't want to overheat at night. And when I took the quiz, that was the mattress that matched me with the Helix Dusk. I chose the Helix Dusk Lux because Helix has like 20 unique mattresses. They've got an award-winning Lux collection, the Helix Elite collection, which is new, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you'll know the Helix mattress works best for you and your body is to take that Helix sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. You'll find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress will be shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping in it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, there's enhanced cooling features for people like me, keep us from overheating at night. If your spine needs that extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining comfort and support. I took the Helix sleep quiz. Like I said, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I wanted something with the right firmness that I could sleep on my stomach, my side, even my back. And they kept me from overheating. And it fits the bill. And not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, the setup was fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. Plus, all Helix mattresses come with a 10 to 15-year warranty, depending on the model. And if you don't want to take my word for it, Helix has been awarded the number one mattress pick by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors. The sleep medicine is a go-to solution for improving your sleep. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. That's HELIXPARTNER20, one word. This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.